vine. It's nice to help a fallen brother. What a joy it is to be together, and particularly to be around the blessed Lord Jesus. If you have your Bible and wish to follow the reading, a very short verse that you may find in Psalm chapter 26 and verse 6. The 26th Psalm and verse 6. Words of the psalmist, very precious to realize what he valued. A very typical presentation of what you and I should value more than ever today, the blessed work of the Lord Jesus and his death upon the cross. Note the words of the psalmist, chapter 26, verse 6. I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass or encompass thine altar, O Lord. Let me repeat the words again. Words that indicate the value that the psalmist and many of God's earthly people long ago placed upon the altar, the burnt offering altar in the tabernacle and later in the temple of old. So I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. May I go back in memory with you to God's command to the building of that altar in the tabernacle long ago, which you may read of in Exodus chapter 27 and verse 41. You will find within that verse the command of God for the making of that altar to be made of shittim wood and to be overlaid with copper. But that altar was to be made in one particular shape, four square. It shall be four square, said God to Moses long ago. And one can recognize that it being four square, it meant that upon the sides of that altar, they numbered four of them. Four sides to the altar. May I also remind you, though you may not particularly remember it, that when that altar was made and placed in the particular position that God commanded it to be placed at the entrance of the tabernacle or the temple of old, there was a north side to that altar. There was an east side to that altar. There was a south side to that altar, and there was a west side to that altar. It was four square. One side directed to the north, another to the east, a third to the south, and last of all, one facing the west. I would like to speak to you of the meaning of that altar in its New Testament application. I'm sure no one will disagree with the fact that blessed altar of burnt offering long ago used by God's earthly people in the tabernacle, later on in the temple, that blessed altar is typical, as we well know, of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ when he sacrificed himself upon Calvary for your sins and for mine. I would like to take those four sides of the altar and bring before you four thoughts. First of all, the north side of the cross. Second, the east side of the cross. Third, the south side of the cross. And last of all, the west side of the cross. Don't forget the words of the psalmist again. I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Go with me around the four sides of the cross. For may I repeat again with emphasis that altar was typical of the cross, the place where our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified for the sin of the world. and for all men. And what a joy to recognize from the old altar of the Old Testament you and I can learn lessons regarding the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, please, may I say, there was an off side to that cross of our Lord Jesus in its meaning. And let me, before going further, remind you, I'm not speaking of that wooden cross. Let me remind you of the words in verse 14, when he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was not referring merely to that wooden cross, the tree upon which our Savior was nailed. He was referring to the complete work of that cross that was accomplished by the Lord Jesus alone. Now, what is the north side of the cross? Let me go back with you to the type of the altar. If you follow the meaning of God's word, you will find in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 11, there was one place only where the victim to be placed upon the altar had to be killed. And in Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 11, God told his people that the offering they brought, the lamb, the bullock, whatever the victim, must be slain on the north side of the altar. Every time, please let me say, and please be sure you know it, the victim was not slain on the altar. The animal was slain, and the victim slain, on the north side of the altar, and then placed upon the altar under the fire to be consumed. So the north side of the altar was where the victim of the sacrifice was slain. What shall we call it when we look at the north side of the cross? May I suggest the thought? It was the north side of judgment, where the victim was slain, where the penalty for sin was meted out, as it were, and where the victim laid his hand upon that animal, confessing his and her sins, and he had come to have his sins pardoned and forgiven. Now, in the Old Testament, we know they had to come again and again and again, for those Old Testament sacrifices could never take away sin, as the book of Hebrews tells us. But it was the north side of judgment. Let me give you the thought. The north side? Why particularly the north side? Well, referring to the history of the children of Israel. Have you not ever noticed when you read the word of God, and particularly read of the times when God visited judgment upon the sins of the nation of Israel, bringing their enemies to come and visit them with judgment from him because of their iniquities? Frequently, not always, but frequently, most of the time, their enemies came from the north and executed the judgment that God demanded upon his earthly people for their disobedience. So we can rightly say the north side of the altar is the north side of judgment. The north side of the cross, my beloved, oh, may I humbly but faithfully remind you, as well as mine own heart, of the judgment that God placed upon the sacrifice, his only begotten Son, when he was upon the cross of Calvary. Let me quote the words of Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and Jehovah hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let me quote the text we mentioned in our worship meeting this morning from Hebrews chapter 2:9. How that the Lord Jesus came down from heaven, passing the realms of the angels, to be made man, that by the grace of God he should suffer death for every man. All the judgment of God upon sin fell upon him when he was upon the cross of Calvary. Let me repeat it again. I cannot enlarge upon it too greatly. Let me quote the words of an old hymn which many of you may know and love, and which we rejoice to sing. All my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God who knew them laid them on him. And believing, I am free. I offer the suggestion, and I can prove it from my own history. The first approach to the cross of Christ for my soul was the north side of judgment. It was necessary that I see all my sins were placed upon him, that Jesus bore them on the tree. But may I rejoice, my beloved friend, particularly if you are not saved, God placed all your sins upon the Lord Jesus Christ when he hung upon Calvary. We think of the words of the old hymn, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. And the first blessing that you'll ever receive from the cross will be the forgiveness of your sins. And you must come to the north side of judgment. We sang a lovely old hymn, very old, in our worship meeting this morning. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. And the chorus, I do believe, I now believe, that Jesus died for me, that on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free. Just as the Israelite of old, or the priest of old, as the case may be, or even David in his memory as he wrote the psalm, the first approach to the altar is the north side of judgment. My beloved friend, may I ask carefully, prayerfully, sincerely, have you been to the north side of judgment yet? For you're not saved until you do. Come first to the north side of judgment. My beloved, what a joy it is to sing. I do believe, I now believe, that Jesus died for me, that on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free. My beloved, every one of us saved by God's grace, that's where we began. We came to the north side of judgment, acknowledging he died for me. He bore my judgment, all my sins. Please, all my sins, not some of them, all my sins were laid upon him. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us for how much sin? All sin. Isn't it good to have all your sins forgiven? Let me tell you something. Way back in 1914, I had all my sins forgiven. Even though I'm 96 this month. And if I live to be 196, we thank God I won't. The joy of knowing he forgave me all my sins. That moment, I acknowledged he died for me. Please, remember he died for them all. And his blood cleanses from all. But then let's go to the next side of the cross. The east side of the cross. If you read in Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 16, you will find that after the sacrifice was made, and the victim had been killed, and the sacrifice was offered as a burnt offering upon the altar of fire, when the offering was finished, the priest had to take the ashes of that offering and remove them from the altar and place them upon the east side of the altar in a clean place. And thus the ashes were placed. And you read in Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 16. That was the action when the sacrifice was finished. The ashes of the offering were removed and placed on the east side of the altar in a clean place. Now what did that speak to the offerer long ago? The moment the offering was done, nothing more could be done. He had brought the offering in faith and laid his hand in identification upon the victim, confessing his sins. Now, all that was left were the ashes. And when the visible ashes were removed, he could recognize, and he did, my offering has been accepted. When they came to the ashes, you read in chapter 20 of the book of Psalms, verse 6, I believe it is, or 3 rather, you find the prayer of David saying, the Lord bless you and consume your sacrifice to ashes. For when he knew the ashes were then accomplished, he was accepted by God. The east side of the altar is the east side of acceptance. Acceptance. My beloved, do you know your New Testament verse? Ephesians chapter 1, part of verse 6 and into verse 7, where Paul by the Spirit has written, in the beloved, accepted in the beloved, the Son of God, in whom we have forgiveness, the forgiveness of our, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. Accepted in the beloved. My beloved, the offerer could go no further. He had brought the offering God required, and he had sacrificed it upon the altar, and it was consumed. My beloved, may I say, the Lord Jesus can do nothing more now than what he has done at Calvary to save your precious soul. And everyone who believes upon him, they are accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. What a joy when you read those words in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, and verse 6 particularly, accepted in the beloved. Oh, the joy of knowing God the Father accepts the sinner into his family the moment that sinner trusts the Lord Jesus as his and her Savior. My beloved, you have no doubt, and you should not, that God will refuse you. If you come to God through Christ and his offering upon the cross of Calvary and the death having been paid by the Lord himself, and by faith you trust that precious blood and sacrifice of the Savior. Well, did the poet write? There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh, dearly, dearly is he loved, and we should love him too, and trust in his redeeming blood, then seek his will to do. And the joy of knowing, may I say it lovingly, earnestly, the moment I trusted Christ as my Savior, kneeling as a poor, guilty, lost, hell-deserving sinner, confessing my sin, needed to be forgiven, acknowledging, Lord, I'm on the way to hell, but Jesus died to save me, and I believe it now, and I want to tell you, I went home that night, accepted in the beloved. God received me as though he would receive his only begotten Son. Take it in. I'm not accepted in myself. Never. I have nothing to bring. Nothing but my sinful self. But God takes me in the beloved. His only begotten Son. My beloved, please let me say it again. Can I say it? Can I put words that can say it? The moment you trust Christ, God the Father receives you as though he was receiving his Son. praise his name. Drink it in. Accept it in the beloved. Praise God. Oh, the joy of knowing. What an acceptance. Again, let me repeat it. You've got to begin at the north side of judgment and make certain that you have confessed the Lord Jesus paid the penalty, the ransom for all your sins. Now here's the evidence. He's never going to die again. He's living at the right hand of God, risen and ascended. And thank God, the work that saves is done. And you, when you trust Him as your Savior, please may I repeat it, He will receive you in the person of His Son. For if any man be in Christ, new creation, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, my beloved, encompass the altar. Begin, if you've never done it, at the north side of judgment. Said, Lord Jesus, for me I acknowledge you died to save me. Then go to the east side of the altar, the east side of acceptance, and enjoy. The sacrifice is over. My beloved, what a joy to know the precious Lord Jesus will never have to die again. Once and for all, He died for all. And all who believe upon Him will be accepted. But let's go to the third side of the altar. The south side of the altar. And may I point out to you, very carefully as we mentioned, Leviticus chapter 1 verse 11 told us of the north side of the altar. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 16 mentions the east side of the altar. And if you have your Bible, let me go with you in your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 47, if you please. The 47th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. It is the only place you find the south side of the altar mentioned in the Word of God in the Old Testament. You have the north side mentioned, you have the east side mentioned in Leviticus, but you have to come to Leviticus, or Ezekiel rather, chapter 47, to find the south side. Read with me the opening words that you have in chapter 47 of Ezekiel, if I may particularly follow with you. Verse 1. And may I point out, first of all, this is a prophecy of the millennial temple that is yet to be built and will be built when the Lord Jesus comes back to the earth, restores His earthly people. And Ezekiel is given a vision of it. And in the vision of it all, this is what we read regarding the south side of the altar. Chapter 47. Afterward He brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house, eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Now let me point out, this is a vision that God gave Ezekiel of the coming millennial temple and symbolic of the millennial blessings that God will bring upon the earth under the reign of the precious Savior. And from under the and from the right side of the altar the river flowed, symbolic of the blessing. Read on if you may with me in verse 2. Then He brought me out by the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the outer gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters. And note, the waters came to the ankle. The river was symbolic of, and will be symbolical of, the blessings of the millennial reign. And here he brings the prophet in his vision. Till he walked through the waters, 1,000 feet, until the waters come to the ankles. But read on further, if you please. Again he measured 1,000, went a little further, and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Let me pause and look at the picture of it. Here in the vision, the prophet is brought to go 1,000 feet, and the waters are to the ankles. 1,000 more, the waters are to the knees. 1,000 more, the waters reach his loins. 1,000 more, and the waters become a river to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. This is positively, literally, positively typical of the millennial blessings in the coming day. But then, look, the south side of the altar for the believer, the south side of the cross. What blessings belong to the believer today? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Let me quote the words. When Paul writes saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Let me repeat the words again. Blessed, praise and worship, give thanks and adoration to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, the believer, with all spiritual blessings, not on the earth, in high or heavenly places, in Christ. The joy of knowing the south side of the blessing of the cross. My beloved, let me point this out. Here in the vision, you find water coming to the ankles. He can walk in a new life. And that's what happens first to a believer that gets saved. In newness of life, they can walk in the blessings that God has prepared and given to us through his beloved Son. And more than that, let me raise the question. How far have you gone in those blessings? Have you come to the knees? Have you gone further than that? To the loins? Have you found that there is water, a river that is to be, that you have to swim in the waters? For may I say, my beloved, the blessings that are yours and mine in Christ, can you measure them? Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Humbly, let me say quickly, and perhaps sadly, there's too many Christians that only go to the ankles in the enjoyment of their spiritual blessings. Some go further to the knees. Some go further still, thank God, to the loins. I think I heard one man say one time, next thing you know, he's going to get the man's pocketbook when he gets the water to the loins, the blessing to the loins, and then further still, blessings to swim in. Can I say lovingly, you cannot measure the blessings that God has provided for those who trust his Son. All spiritual blessings, and may I emphasize, non-earthly blessings, spiritual blessings, in heavenly places in Christ. The south side of the altar. Go back to the premise of chapter 26 of the Psalm. I will compass thine altar, O Lord. I'll go round it, begin at the north side of judgment, and get my sins forgiven. And the east side of acceptance, acknowledging God has accepted me fully in the person and by the work of his dear Son. And blessing, oh my beloved. You remember the psalmist once wrote, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." My beloved fellow believer, And you who may not be a believer, is it? You don't know what blessings you're missing when you don't have Christ as your Savior, and you can get round to the south side of the cross and enjoy the blessing. Oh, my beloved, if you don't mind the example, I bow very humbly to say this, but I bow very gratefully. 81 years, my greatest blessings have been spiritual. Oh, I can thank God, and I do, for earthly blessings. But the greatest of all, spiritual blessings. In heavenly places, in Christ. That blessed man in the glory. Oh, may I say it again. That risen, glorified man has blessed me tremendously through all my Christian experience from my youth up. Thank God for them. But that's not the end of them. I'm going to enjoy them forever in heaven. Now, there's only one side left for the altar. We've seen the north side mentioned. We've seen the east side mentioned. We've seen the south side mentioned. But may I suggest, I can find no place where the west side, as such, is recorded in the Word of God. Why? Well, beloved, go back to the text back in chapter 27 of the book of Exodus, verse 1. The altar is four square. There is the north side, there is the east side, as we have seen, there is the south side. But at the west side, no mention of it. And you know, if you were to take your map of the old temple or the old tabernacle, the west side of the altar led immediately, if you could draw a straight line from the altar, it would take you right into the holiest, into the very presence of God. And the joy of knowing the west side is the west side of worship, the north side of judgment, the east side of acceptance, the south side of blessing. And what can I do but go from the west side into the holiest? And if you remember your Bible well, there was only one thing in the altar, in the holiest of all. Only one article of furniture. It was the Ark of the Covenant, symbolical of Christ, his person, made of shittim wood, overlaid with gold, in all the glory of his deity and the preciousness of his humanity, and where the blood was taken and placed upon the mercy seat. And the joy of knowing I can go from the west side into his presence, the holiest, to worship. Let me quote the words, chapter 10, verse 19 and on, from Hebrews chapter 10. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by that new and living way which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Beloved, you know what? I'm ready for heaven. The holiest of all in the presence of God above. By faith, when we remember the Lord Jesus in his death this morning, we believers enter the holiest to worship. But literally, someday he's coming and take us into his presence forever. And may I say, the joy of knowing I've been to the north side of the altar of the cross and found my sins put away. I've been to the east side of acceptance of that cross. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm enjoying the south side of blessing. And thank God, by faith through the Spirit, I can enter the holiest any time. But someday, some moment, I'll go into the presence of God forever, never to leave it. And thank God for the four sides of the cross. Oh, my beloved, let me suggest, as we close in prayer, start going around the altar Go to the first side of judgment if you've never been there, the first side of the cross. Go to the side of acceptance and know and rejoice you're accepted in the beloved. Go to the south side of blessing. Get into the book. Not only wade in it to the ankles, go to the knees and go to the loins. And I tell you very frankly, I found that this great book, which is such a full of the labor, the labor that it was in the tabernacle and the temple of old, where the, did you ever know, and I'm sure you do, the most used article of furniture in that old tabernacle and that temple was the laver between the altar and the holy place, where the priest, every time he served, before whatever he did, and even after he did it, he would wash his hands and feet in the water of the laver. And my beloved, what a joy to know you and I can put your hands and feet and your whole being into this book and rejoice in the blessings you have in Christ from the side of the altar, and the joy of knowing someday we'll go into his presence forever. Shall we pray? Beloved Father, no wonder thy dear servant Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that every one of us, some poor sinner that has never yet done it, will even now rejoice on the north side of judgment that Christ died for him and for her to put away their sin. May we all get to the south, to the east side of acceptance, rejoicing we're accepted in the beloved. Help us to get to the south side of blessing, enjoying the blessings our Lord has bought with his own precious blood for us to enjoy all the way to heaven, and what blessings will be ours when we get there. And last of all, we will worship thee forever and forever because of the work of the cross. Oh, blessed Lord, may today some poor sinner come to the cross and say, I do believe, I now believe that Jesus died for me, that on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free. And may they keep compassing the altar. We ask that all of us will do so in the name and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for coming, and may that precious truth of the cross, as we often sing our song of praise to the death of the Lord Jesus upon that cross. And don't forget it, at the cross of the cross where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away. 'Twas there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. The Lord bless you. And if you can put up with me tonight and come again, I'll put up with you. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
He provided the one thing that could rescue them and bring them out of that horrible dilemma of being in the world without Christ. He introduced them to the Lord Jesus. He set their feet upon that pathway of righteousness in which they could fulfill the will of God. But that will might be fully realized, he had to teach them the things of God, about their God. And let them know, you can never plead ignorance anymore. None of us can. You got a Bible? You're without excuse, brother, sister. You're without excuse. You don't have an excuse. Don't give some lame brain excuse about, I don't know much about the Bible. Why don't you? Why don't you know something about the Word of God, the Savior that you trusted and one day excited your soul, and somewhere along the way you lost that enthusiasm? You didn't lose your salvation, but you may have lost the joy in your salvation, because you can't be a happy Christian. You can't be a Christian that is at peace with God unless you're growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Our Father in heaven, we do give thanks to Thee for giving us Your Son. We thank Thee for accepting us into the family of God. We thank Thee for calling us one of Your children. And we thank Thee that You have provided so wonderfully all that we need in the way of spiritual food for our souls, that we might be strengthened spiritually and that we might grow and fulfill Your will for our lives. Oh, our God, help each one of us to take this ever so seriously this morning and purpose in our hearts that starting this day, we will apply ourselves to that deeper experience of learning more and more about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We ask this in His name. Amen. Our brother has a closing hymn.